This is the PJ and Jim in the Morning Catch-Up Podcast. Catch PJ and Jim live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on Classic Hits.
And people, moving on up here at Classic Hits, 8 minutes past 6 o'clock, waking up happy with PJ and Jim on Friday's Eve, Thursday, December the 5th.
That's it, sure. That's most of the week done now. Just on a little bit
I thought this week went very quickly, didn't
Same
it?
Same here, yeah.
Very quickly.
Well, she
feels
here
like it was a day short. It's weird.
Yeah, you are out missing for a bit of it, so it's sort of, you know.
I think that made it easier all around. We're all concerned. Well, good morning to you. You're right, though.
It did. It sort of flew in a little bit.
Yeah, and it's speeding up. It seems to, like, gather its own extra momentum the closer you get to the big C word.
Yeah. Very true. It does. It does seem to be gathering momentum, indeed.
The good news for you is you missed your mate.
What did I miss now?
Earlier on. You missed your mate earlier on. He's been and gone. He's already driven home for Christmas for today.
Oh, thank God. He was on, was he?
Yeah.
What a rubbish song that is.
Driving home for Christmas.
So,
got a marble in my head.
I've got a marble in my hand.
I don't know what he'd be saying. You're
going to give it to me, nephew. He'll be delighted playing in the sand.
Such a stupid song.
Very good lyrics there. Very good lyrics. Anyway, the good news is he's out of the way.
We'll probably have a glass of wine or two.
Jeepers, yeah. Sorry, yeah. You have to get me obsessed with him now.
Yeah. But the other thing, mind you, speaking of Christmas tunes, we still haven't dug out... what's Jakey Boy's Christmas one? What's it called again?
Merry Christmas, Jakey Boy.
Yeah, that's it. Merry Christmas, Jakey Boy.
Yeah.
I'm determined to get that on the radio again.
That's just Jake calling out to someone to go out with him for a date for Christmas.
How would that never become a Christmas classic? Well, I mean, I suppose there is the whole thing about you releasing it after Christmas, but you know what I mean?
That was a slight mistake. Embarrassing a story that is, yeah.
As Christmas hits go, the ones released after Christmas tend not to do so well for some reason.
We didn't know. It was new.
Yeah.
Apple, iTunes, whatever.
Of course
it was. So it was like, what's your relief on the 1st to the 12th, 1-12, whatever the year it was, 06, I think, right?
Yeah.
1-12-06. We didn't know that in America land, that's the 12th of January. So he sent that in as our release date. So yeah, our Christmas song was released on the 12th of January.
To think of what could have been, eh? What could have been.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, Dexy's Midnight Runners, Come On Eileen, here at Classic Hits, 13 minutes past 6 o'clock, Thursday morning, Friday's Eve, 5th of December. Good to have you along, folks. 087-188-0008. I'm not sure Paul the Trucker is fully comprehending the whole idea of the no-repeat guarantee.
Oh, right.
Because he's just been on to say, Come On Eileen was played on Monday or Tuesday at around 10 in the morning.
I get you, Paul. I know what you're saying. And it was worth having a go. But unfortunately, it has to be between 7 and 7.
On the same day.
On the same day, yes.
Yeah, so it has to be within that 12-hour period of any one day. 7 in the morning till 7 in the evening. But hey,
so the
God loves a trier.
Monday or Tuesday into Thursday. Unfortunately, Paul,
you're stretching it, buddy.
Can't help you this time.
Yeah. Mind you, there is a rumour doing the rounds that it is going to happen in the next while, as in it's going to be set up to happen.
Oh, really? Right, okay.
As in we will definitely give a grand away. Like it's going to
if
be.
If anyone notices, of course.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to sort of, you know, do it deliberately.
There
like.
You go. There's your reason to keep listening over the Christmases.
Yeah. Right, okay. Birthdays for you. You're going to like these ones today. There's a few good ones in here
for
you.
Very good.
Including one of your absolute favourites, right? It's this bloke's birthday.
Oh.
I had no money, no training facilities. I scraped food out of bins. I slept in the car at minus 25. I slept in cow sheds and in barns. I slept in a mental hospital. And I didn't know where my next meal was coming from. All these other jumpers were chipping in with equipment. For me, getting to those Olympic Games was my gold medal. It didn't matter that I came 58 for the fact that I got there in the end.
I love this man. I have nothing but absolute brilliant love for this man. It's Eddie the Eagle.
Yes, it is.
Oh, Eddie.
You were looking a bit suspect there at the start.
At the start, I didn't know what was going on. That's a bit of a mad thing to say. Well, he puts barns and everything before a mental hospital. Surely the best facility out of all of them was a mental hospital.
Yeah, and the other great line is, it didn't matter that I came 58th.
I know.
Nobody else has ever been celebrated for coming 58th in an Olympic Games.
I know, and apart from, he started a bit of a trend. Remember, Eric the Eel then came years after.
I didn't know about this bloke until you told me.
Eric the Eel.
Who was an Olympic swimmer that couldn't really swim.
He sank in the pool. He sank in the pool. Oh, it was amazing.
He was saying, though, apparently the movie, right, is kind of, they only took bits of it. It's not really that accurate to his life.
Yeah, I'd say,
There are bits in there, some of them are mixed around a little bit, and the sort of, obviously, the basic tenet of it is right.
Yeah, it's a movie, only an hour and a half. You have to sort of summarise a life rather than tell...
Yeah,
I mean, we were only talking about Braveheart yesterday. Like, would you get out?
Exactly.
As far as historical context, something like that happened. But if you want to go by fact, but like, it's outrageous nonsense. But but what a great bloke! And the fact that he actually did go to the Olympics—that's all he ever wanted.
That was his gold medal,
and he didn't even care what the event was. That's what I loved about him. Like, he was trying to get into the Summer Olympics for half his life, and then he realised. The Winter Olympics. Sure, Brits are terrible at winter sport.
I get
in there. But he didn't realise Brits are actually not terrible at winter sport. Not at all terrible
That's
at
fantastic.
Winter sport. And he managed to qualify against all the odds. They pushed him out. The Olympic Committee stood up against him. They thought he was a halfwit and a joke.
Right.
He did it. He absolutely did it. Now he is a bit...
The funny thing about it is... You know, there's laughing with him and laughing at him, but you can't deny that he's one of the best known Olympians there's ever been.
Name one. Name one, anyone here. John, this is your country too. Name one English ski jumper other than Eddie the Eagle. There you go. Name one. See, nobody can.
No, I really wanted to outsmart you there, but I can't do it.
Thank you very much. Because Eddie the Eagle is a champion. That's why
absolutely.
He's a brilliant. So what age is he, though? I'm going to say, he's older now. Would he be like 61?
56.
Ah, fart off life. God almighty, he deserves better than that.
56. Right, Anthony Martial is celebrating his birthday today.
Where were you yesterday, you gob?
Wasn't on the pitch last night. Didn't need him.
Didn't need you. Yeah, it was what a night last night now, if you don't mind me changing this into the very rare opportunity we get to gloat nowadays.
I think I'm going to allow it.
Yeah, go on. You Spurs are brutal. It was great to see Mourinho not come and have his victory lap that he wanted. I like Mourinho now. I don't hate Mourinho.
No, I like him too.
But it would have been salt into a very open wound at the moment if he had to come back and... rubbed everyone's nose in it and took back off.
And he would have done the humble thing.
He would have,
in a way that nobody else can do the humble thing, where it's actually arrogant.
Passive-aggressive to the max. Passive-aggressive to the max.
He's the only man who can make humble look like it's actually, you know, smarming.
Yeah. And I'd say he was delighted on the way in. Anthony Martial won't be playing. He'd be all over the moon about it.
Yeah.
But they played fantastic. It was
best I've seen them for.
Oh my God. They're fantastic.
An absolute age.
I had to pay a tenner to watch the match. It was worth it. I didn't even bet a tenner. I was so sure they weren't going to win. But jeepers, it was brilliant. So go on, Manchester.
Because it was weird. We eventually found it on that Premier HD channel thing.
You found it. Fair play.
But originally, the whole thing had been about Amazon showing it.
And I couldn't find
Amazon
it.
Prime.
And I couldn't find anything to do with football on it.
Yeah, me neither.
How does that work?
I don't know. I don't know where football's meant to be on Amazon Prime, but I looked for it yesterday, couldn't find it.
Thankfully found
that Premier thing.
Yeah, I couldn't figure it out at all. So there you go. I got to say Anthony Martial is... is he even 30 yet? 29.
24.
Oh my God. Still only a boy. He's only a kipper.
Still only a boy.
A kipper. I meant to say a kid and a nipper. He's only a kipper.
Well, I don't know. Some games I've seen him play. Kipper's not a bad shout. Anyway, what about the Rockets? Ronnie O'Sullivan celebrating his birthday
today. Ronnie O'Sullivan, love him.
Yeah. He's one of the few sort of proper characters left
across sports. Isn't his whole family mad as well, isn't it? Aren't they?
Well,
wasn't his elf in jail and everything?
Yeah, he famously brought the trophy to prison to show his dad.
I think he's from the real school of hard knocks, isn't he?
I think so. I don't know that much about him now.
Snooker's the only chance, like, you know, sometimes ex-cons get to wear a tuxedo. You know?
Is this the whole misspent youth, sign of a misspent youth?
I don't know.
Growing up in snooker halls.
Snooker is very much, it's very much a working class game, isn't it? Snooker.
I suppose. Yeah.
Now that I think of it.
Yeah, I suppose you don't get...
There's no snooker academy in Black Rock College. Do you know what I mean?
You don't get that many toffs.
I don't think you see a lot of snooker halls around Killiney or Montanotti or anything.
Well, when you think of some of the greats, you know, Ronnie O'Sullivan, Jimmy White and Alex Higgins.
Yeah.
I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, and then some of the great greats, like Alex Higgins, you know, you start thinking, right, well, he could actually shoot me now. You know what I mean? He could actually put a bullet in me if I get annoyed with him. And he'd still be wearing a dicky bow and having a slash and a bunch of flowers. So I'm going to say Ronnie O'Sullivan is
44.
Is he?
44, yeah.
Oh, I thought he was older than me.
Right, and then the last one for you, right, is a change of tack away from the sport. It's Malcolm in the Middle himself. Frankie Muntz, or Munitz. Oh, how do you pronounce his name?
Munitz.
Frankie Muniz.
Frankie Muniz.
Just call him Malcolm in the Middle.
All right, Malcolm. God, that's a brilliant show. You know, there's a theory that Malcolm in the Middle is the prequel to Breaking Bad.
The sequel.
Breaking Bad is the prequel to Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, he had to go into witness protection.
Yeah, he goes into witness protection, has a family, has a second family, and this is how his life ends up, which I love that idea.
Yeah.
It's not like you can say about Malcolm in the Middle other than that.
Except he was always kind of in the middle.
He was
cheeky
always.
Imp.
He was one of them. One of that unique thing you get where he's the main character in the show and he's the least interesting person in it. Sex and the City is that as well. You know.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say he's.
How do you put an age on him?
I don't know.
A face like that, he could be anything from. You know what I mean? He's like a leprechaun.
Like 32, would he be?
He's well done. 34.
Oh, okay.
34 is not bad.
Yeah, not great now. At least I wasn't.
Pyrrhic victory for you.
I was 20 years out on four of them yesterday.
And now you're up to date on the home of the no-repeat 7-7, putting €1,000 on the line every hour. This is Classic Hits.
Cool, thanks Tara. 6:32, how are you this morning?
Morning, PJ.
Morning.
Why did I not get a good morning?
Why did you not get a good morning? What did you do on me yesterday?
Oh my God,
I tell you, she holds a grudge, that woman, doesn't she?
What happened?
You ran, you actually took flight and you ran away.
Obviously.
Did you see him run away from me in the office?
Because Dave offered me a pretzel.
Oh, yes,
not
I did.
Not just any old pretzel.
Well, it wasn't my fault. It was the last one in the bag.
It was not the last one in
it
the bag.
It was the last one in
it
the bag.
It was not. I saw you.
I tell you, it was because I had eaten the second last one.
It was the second last one. Just to clarify, it was a salted caramel-covered pretzel. And I saw you physically eat about four of them.
You must be joking. There was only two in the bag.
And then
when I
gestured to you, oi, leave us one of them. What did you do? You put the whole bag up to your mush and scoffed whatever crumbs were left inside. And then when you realised, this is all happening while I was trying to actually read the news
exactly.
and the weather.
That's right. I'm not stupid. Of course I ran.
He literally took off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Winfred Christie wasn't in it. He was gone. Gone.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, PJ was there
would have
standing
ran
witness.
As well.
And just to clarify, there was only two in the bag.
I don't believe it.
And after it had the taster, I thought,
I have to have another one of them. I don't believe you. And that's why you're right.
They were delicious, though.
They were amazing.
Oh, yeah.
They
anyway,
were how many amazing.
Had you, how many had you had before that?
I'd had two.
No, you, oh
I
my
had,
God.
I only had two.
Wash your mouth, that woman.
I had two.
This is amazing. I've never felt so. Mammy and Daddy are going to kill themselves. There's going to be a row.
It's going to be at least a week before
I speak to him
again.
No.
In the meantime, I'm going
to
pass the messages
you.
To. Go on.
I've got some Bailey's chocolates.
Oh. I love you, Jim McCain.
You're very welcome.
I love you. He's my favourite. Jim's my favourite.
Can I have one?
Shakin' Stevens Christmas Classic. Merry Christmas, everyone. Here are Classic Hits. 19 minutes away from 7 o'clock. And London Beat ahead of that. I've been thinking about you. Actually, speaking of Christmas tunes, right? You know the way we were talking about Chris Rea, your favourite, earlier on. And the fact that you won't have to listen to it because it was on before 6 o'clock
this
morning.
Thank God for that, yeah. That's a small mercy.
Thomas and Calvin sent in this WhatsApp, right, saying Chris Rea only got to 56 in the charts.
Yeah.
In 1986.
Yeah.
With Driving Home for Christmas.
Imagine not getting into the top 50 with a crap song. I mean, what a shock and horror that is.
Is that like, as in, you know, the year it was released, it only did that and then it went on to do better? Or does that mean that that's as high as it ever got?
I hope that's
as high as it ever
got. Because
that doesn't even qualify as a hit, if that's the case.
It's not a hit. It's just some drone that they bring out over the Christmas every single year.
All the same, I mean, a good Christmas hit is like a pension.
Oh, definitely.
How much money must Slade and...
make every single year?
Well, I was going to say Wham. Obviously, Andrew Ridgely now, I assume.
I'm sure he still gets a few quid out of it. Sure, wasn't he only Christmas on the Ray Darcy TV show there?
Was he?
A few weeks back, yeah.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. If you've got a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just every year.
Printing money for you.
Fantastic.
If you release it at Christmas time.
Yeah, if only you hadn't released it in January.
Well. You're going to keep him. This is going to be an ongoing theme now from now until December.
By the way, can I just thank Aaron, who sent me in a link to the YouTube version of... Jakey Boy's Merry Christmas, Jakey Boy.
Oh my God, is there a YouTube version?
There is a YouTube version, but to be honest with you, you were saying earlier on, there's no shortage of actual hard copies though, is there?
Well, there is now, because I gave them all away. It took me years. Because of course, when you release something as badly as although we released a hard copy on time, and it did get to 6 in the Irish charts just on the hard copy alone.
Well, that's a hit.
Yeah, but then after Christmas, we totally misjudged it.
Yeah.
And a container van lorry thing turned up outside my house and started unloading boxes. I was like, what in the name of God are they? This is all the singles we didn't sell. I was bringing them around for years.
They took over your ma's entire house. There
was like an entire spare bedroom that was loaded like a truck. Like, that had to be, like, loaded like a truck.
Nothing else in it.
Nothing else in it, only these cardboard
boxes. Merry Christmas, Jakey Boy.
And so every time I went to a gig, I'd take 3 or 4 with me. And it took me years to give them away as presents on stage, because you had to stop after Christmas. You can't be giving away Christmas things in January or April or July.
You can't give away Christmas things in January, but you can release them.
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah, okay, you can do all kinds of accidental things, but you know what I mean.
We're going to have to nominate a show and build it around playing Merry Christmas, Jakey Boy.
Yeah, get him in for it, though.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, we could ask him about his experiences, you know what I mean, around that time and what possessed him and all that.
To be honest with you,
it's a very, very, very Jake thing to do.
I know, isn't it?
Release a Christmas song in January.
On the 12th of January instead of the 1st of December.
Literally, it's the 12th of January. Is that regarded as the... No, it's not. It's the 6th of January is the 12th day of Christmas.
Women's Christmas, is it?
Oh, is that what
they call
it?
I think it... I don't know. He literally... A week late. A week after Christmas officially ends.
Yeah.
It's time to go to number one.
I mean, no competition.
I mean, literally, no. Everybody's doing it in the same few weeks. They're all halfwits. I'm going to be ready to go.
So, something I think that might qualify as one of my favourite stories ever. I think it might be one of my favourite stories ever.
Anyway,
definitely, we're going to do that. We're going to have to play Merry Christmas, Jakey Boy. I don't want to throw it away willy-nilly. Like, you know, like any other Christmas song. We're going to have to build a show around that.
Yeah, I know, because it's humiliating for me. So that's important.
Get Jake in to get his perspective on it and all the rest of it as well. In the meantime, though, today, what have we got for you? Loads going on. As usual, of course, the regular bits and pieces that are always here. We got the hit bit. It's 740-ish today, is it? No.
730 euro today on the hit bit. Yeah, 730 quid.
Cool. Also, this great VIP package for four, glamping package for four, VIP style to Forever Young, the 2020 festival happening next summer. We're going to announce the lineup for that gig tomorrow, actually. That'll be big news. Some of the
big news.
Big 80s acts that are going to be performing at Palmer's Town House in Naysa. We'll give you another shot at that. It's 11 to beat on that at the moment. Also, of course, we'll be giving you another opportunity to get involved with our head scout, Elf. Back in action with us tomorrow, of course. He'll be having a chat with one of the kids. Could be yours. We'll tell you about that a bit later on.
That little fart is hanging around. He is a little fart.
By the way,
he's funny though. He is funny. I'll give him that much.
Speaking of hanging around, English John is with us today again.
Again, yeah.
Yeah, because unfortunately Magic Mike is still under the weather. So English John
has stepped in.
Good to have you.
Thank you, that's right. Yes, Mike's really trying to be back tomorrow.
Is he?
Which is good, because if it was me, I'd just skip Friday.
Yeah. Would you? Yeah, to be honest with you, I kind of agree with John on that.
If you've been off a couple of days, I'm not coming in for Friday.
If you've got a legitimate sort of, you know, not well.
Coming in for the one
why
day.
Why would you come in on Friday?
Like, oh, now I'm not doing that, so I'm making near a week out of the break.
Absolutely.
But Mike's going to try, so fair play to him.
Yeah. What a loser.
He's such a, yeah, what an idiot.
So, it's English John you'll have to impress if you want to get on for either the Breakfast Table Quiz or the Hit Bit, any of that sort of stuff. And usual number to get in touch for whatever you want to get in touch for, 087-188-0008. Yeah, Elton John, I'm still standing, mind you. I'm having a bit of a rant. I'm still standing. He's probably throwing his snake skin Gucci bag as we speak. It was a Gucci. Was it? No, it wasn't Gucci.
It was Gucci.
Was
yeah,
it Gucci?
It was
yeah.
A night snake style Gucci bag, 2,000 quid's worth. Yeah.
And do you know what's happening? A flunky is running to get it.
Some flunky has got to get it as we speak.
Yeah, big story about Elton John losing his rag apparently at some. What was it? Was it? At, well, it wasn't at an airport. No, was it at a gig?
It was he was coming off a gig. There was two. He's had two big blowouts in the last couple of days.
Right.
One getting off the plane there the day before yesterday.
Ah, right. Okay.
Where he threw the bag in a temper off getting off his private
and
jet.
And a flunky had to get it.
And the flunky had to get
it. Uses flunky.
The newest pet. It's such a great word, isn't it?
Brilliant.
I'm very worried though, because this show is going to end up being called Jim and Flunky in the morning.
Almost 10 past 7. Thanks for hanging out with us, folks. Thursday, 5th of December, Friday's Eve, as we like to think about it. 087-188-0008 if you want to get in touch. Even if... Now, I mean, look, on this show, right, occasionally, there are certain groups of people that get a little bit of a slagging. You know, Mike's fraternity... The whole sort of avocado bunch.
The hipster gang,
they get a bit of a thing, you know. I mean, the odd vegan may have been on the receiving end of a slight jibe.
May have happened.
In the past.
Maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
Cyclists, good lord, do they get it.
Obviously, they deserve it. But there is then, actually, somebody that I think, to be fair, we've always been supportive of, are the environmentalists.
Yeah, yeah. Unless they do something stupid, like buy a Prius.
I did forget about the Prius.
Yeah, unless you buy Priuses. One of those ridiculous looking blocks of nonsense. But other than that, we're all for it. And I now have been converted miraculously. I am the Greta Thunberg of the radio now. I've decided that's what I am. Because I'm looking at these. These are great ideas, Jim. You're going to love this. How to have an environmental Christmas. There's people out there, Christmas is such a time of waste, wanton waste and consumerism, that if you can change to have an environmental Christmas, it's better for us all.
Great. So this is like positive for climate change, lowering your carbon footprint, lowering your waste.
This is
great. Lovely. I'm looking forward to this.
Brilliant.
Right, excellent.
Buy a real Christmas tree, they say.
Always do.
Because it's better for landfill. Sounds like it's self-defeating, but when it comes to plastic trees and all that sort of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Better still, it says, don't have a tree at all. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
This is a Christmas story, is it?
Yeah, well, this is how to have an environmentally friendly Christmas. And
is not have a Christmas.
No,
tree.
You can have a tree. You can have a Christmas tree all you want. Look out your feckin' window. Every other house in the road has a Christmas tree, right? You can go and visit people with Christmas trees every day of the week. You can put up a picture of a Christmas tree. Do anything you want. I'm trying to share the love of the planet.
That's amazing.
With you.
So the key to an environmental Christmas is to look in other people's windows at their tree.
Number two, Jim. Get crafty. Make your own Christmas crackers. They ain't that right. While we all love your silly toys that comes out of the table, the decorations, it's easy to make them yourself. Just get inside of a toilet roll thing.
Rubbish at that.
And wrap some newspaper around.
I could never do that Blue Peter stuff when I was a kid.
Oh, but do you know what else is better again for environmentalism? If you can't do it, if you're like me, don't have Christmas crackers.
I could live without that. Yeah, I could live without Christmas crackers. Right. I'm going to give you that one.
Okay,
that's
well,
a win
go.
For you.
Yeah, well, there you go. Christmas Day is the ultimate pig out, where we stuff our faces, festive treats and turkey and all that wasted food that goes in the bin. Yeah. Here's another thing you can do. Keep the leftovers, and instead of like having them, you're getting bored making sandwiches or whatever, put some curry sauce on it.
Yeah.
Right? And make big
turkey curry is a great thing.
Yeah. Or better still, don't eat too much food or buy any food for Christmas.
Right, so far, your tips have been don't have a Christmas tree. Don't have Christmas crackers.
No, I'm giving you
don't
options.
Have Christmas dinner.
I'm giving you options. That's just a third option there.
Okay.
I'm going with the third option so far. I'm all for it. This is making me actually love Christmas again. Rather than fiddling with the batteries and new technology, you can now give different gifts. Right?
Okay.
So, you know, instead of plastic toys and all of that, you know, or plastic goods and all the wrapping paper and all of this sort of stuff, right? Because wrapping paper, not all wrapping paper is recyclable, by the way.
Yeah, true. The foily stuff isn't.
Yeah, so you have problems there. So instead of giving
And your wrapping paper definitely isn't, because your wrapping paper is actual tin foil.
Exactly.
I kid you not, people of Ireland, that PJ has decided that tin foil is the ultimate...
Brilliant.
Self-staying wrapping paper.
You don't even need tape.
You don't
have to be arsed using self-tape. It's brilliant. So here's what you do instead. Rather than doing with all that, now is a good time of year to take cuttings from your house plants, pot them up as gifts, you know, for your near, and give them cuttings from your plants. Yeah, there you go. So you can give them maybe a spider plant or a cactus and pop them into some peat-free compost. Lovely. So that's it. I can't wait to see my nephew's little faces when they get a cactus each for Christmas.
I mean, that's not the worst ever.
Yeah.
Lots of people do give the plant thing.
Well, I'm going to give you a branch for Christmas, and you'll love it.
Brilliant. You're just going to pick something up, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're just going to pick something
up. I actually won't. My dog will. Brilliant. She always takes one into the car when we're
so you're going to give me a dog saliva drenched twig.
Okay, you can have a cactus. How about a cactus? Do you want a cactus? You can have a cactus.
Be honest, give us the twig.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the kids opening their cactuses when they're wrapped in tinfoil. It's going to be hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, it's what's in this?
Yeah. Or better still, like I said, there is always another option.
Don't buy any presents. Brilliant.
You know? So
I'm not sure
go.
This environmental Christmas... I think it's the Christmas bit that's lacking from this environmental
I don't know
bit.
What you're talking about. Here's another good one. Leave the door open for Santa. An open fireplace with a chimney is very handy for him because he can come down, you know.
Yeah.
So obviously you can't have the fire lit for when you're going to bed.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable for him.
Well, you can actually. You can still do it, but we always used to not do it. We'll make his suit smelly. But you can also choose to come in the door. Who knew that? So if you install an efficient stove, you know, burning fuel like in your fireplace produces about 1 ton of carbon dioxide. So if you have a stove installed in your house, you use less fuel than peat and coal and everything like that.
Right.
It means you don't have to buy coal, you don't have to buy peat, and you get more heat. You get more heat for your buck, essentially, and it's easier. And then you
one of those like pot-bellied stove type things.
And then Santa can come in the door instead of come down the chimney. Or better still.
Well, hang on. There is. I mean, leaving your door open. That might be just a step too far. Even unlocked my... Because, you know, there's Santa and burglars.
You're right. I think a better idea is let's not tell Santa to come at all. How about that?
No!
That's a better idea still, isn't it?
That's a step too far. I mean, whatever about no Christmas tree, no Christmas crackers, no Christmas dinner. You're not taking Santa off me.
Santa, there's a cork in me chimney, right? You keep moving, mate. You keep moving. This is an environmentally friendly house I live in.
Oh my God. You're not allowed in. Wow.
Santa's barred. On environmental grounds alone, Santa Claus, you are barred from my house.
You'll be going around looking in windows, will you? Looking at other people's trees.
Yeah.
Having a Mars bar for your Christmas dinner. That's probably not environmentally friendly.
That's a great idea.
Robbie Williams, I think that's his best. I know everybody goes on about angels and all that sort of stuff.
That's a proper jazzy tune. That's a
belter. I'm sorry, that is a proper belter. Let me entertain you. Robbie Williams here at Classic Hits, 7:20. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim on this Thursday, 5th of December, Friday's Eve, people. 087-188-0008 if you want to give us a shout. You won't believe this, PJ, but Dan in Cork is getting the impression you don't really like Christmas.
Really?
Where would he have picked that up from?
I'm talking with Dan. I'm an environmentalist. I think it's obvious that that's what the message I was trying to put across was.
Look at this. PJ is such a Grinch until he's trying to sell Christmas records. Well, to be fair to him.
I don't at even least need he to defend myself here.
At least he doesn't do it at Christmas time.
I do it in January. So there you go, smarty pants.
the greatest Christmas record ever.
It might have been an accident that I did it in January, but I still did it in January.
I wonder, has that story gone proper viral around the world?
I doubt it, because I was ashamed of it for over a decade, so I never told anybody.
You know all those kind of stories that we talk about, that we pick up out of the papers, that we pick up and we find, you know, somebody in America did this, or somebody in Australia did this, or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you reckon in radio stations all over the world, somebody's sitting there telling their co-host about the bloke in Ireland who released a Christmas record on the 12th of January?
We never told anyone about it. I told you, thinking you might keep it to yourself. But now here we are.
Well, I mean, I did keep it to myself.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't tell anybody.
I told Jim that story here. Like, just told him. And he nearly fell off the chair laughing. And the very next time the microphone went on, he goes, "Here, come here, will you? Will you come here and tell?"
I mean, that's just
will
too
you tell
good.
Everybody?
That's too good not to share, though.
I know, yeah.
I'm guaranteeing that's going to happen. There will be radio stations and shows around the world doing little Christmas stories about the bloke in Ireland who released a Christmas record in January.
And I don't mind the story being out there. What I mind is the headline will be "Irish idiot makes Christmas clanger" or something like that.
Look at it. English John has that.
Yeah, he's
nodding because
he knows how the press works.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It'd be "Jackass Jake makes Christmas mistake." The all these headlines. That's what they'd say.
Oh dear. Right, what else have we got? Thomas thinks that your environmental Christmas was written by Scrooge.
Yeah, there's a bit of that, all right.
Somebody else on the subject of giving plants. My nephew is getting a Venus flytrap from me. Good luck to him.
There you go. Now you're talking. Now you know how it works.
Is that technically safe, is it?
Ah, yes. Should they only give you a little nibble?
Yeah. There's a very good comment in from Ed, but I can't read it out because people give out to me for using bold language.
PJ's nephew, Christmas morning, shouting, oh my God, yeah, gee.
If he shouts, in relation to the cactus.
Yeah, if I
you know,
give
if he if he pricked his finger.
Yeah.
He might say, oh, PJ, you know what I mean?
Yeah. PJ, you go on, got me out and stick in me finger, fella, you.
Good. Stick in me finger, fella.
Yeah.
Cheers for that, Ed. Also, peeping into other people's windows, robbing people's boxers. This is all getting a little worrying, says Paul and Claire. Yeah.
Yeah.
We are going to have to be careful.
I know. I don't know what sort of an image of myself is going out there. Can I assure you that... once again, I stole another man's underpants by accident.
Yeah.
Just once again.
And peeping in other people's windows is purely environmental.
It's environmentally friendly. Yeah. Maybe I won't peer in other people's windows then. I'll just walk past the shopping centre or something.
Yeah.
They have a tree there I can look at. It's less weird that way.
And John wants to know, Jim, is it true that PJ actually buys 10 boxes of Christmas crackers just for the new material in the jokes? Oh, John, come on.
God.
Harsh, buddy, harsh. Also, there was somebody I needed to say hello to and now I can't find them. Somebody's heading up to go shopping and see Rod Stewart and all that. I'll find it later on and I'll give you a shout out. But anyway, 087-188-0008 if you want to get in touch. Yeah, wham, and I'm your man here at Classic Hits. It's just 20 to 8. Thanks for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Thursday morning, Friday's Eve. I found that request I need to do. It's for Geraldine McDonnell and Sarah and Dolores Deeney, and they're heading up to Dublin from Galway. They're going to do a bit of shopping and Rod Stewart tonight.
Oh, of course, Rod Stewart. Rod the God is on, yeah?
Yeah, apparently they're celebrating Ger's impending retirement. Who doesn't love a bit of Rod on a Thursday night?
Honestly, who doesn't? Rod Stewart is still amazing.
Still amazing.
To be fair.
So Geraldine McDonald, Sarah and Dolores Deeney have an absolutely fantastic time. And also, somebody wants us to wish Tony Rebecca Byrne a big happy 30th birthday. She's in work at the moment. She listens to you every day. It's from all of her family. It's so full moniker. Tony Rebecca Byrne.
There you go. Triple Barlers.
Absolutely.
You have a great one, whatever you're up to today.
Yeah, enjoy it. Right, we're getting all religious, are we, PJ?
We are. We absolutely are. It starts again tomorrow. The Mercy on the Mall starts from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock tomorrow to run for a
Mercy
few.
On the Mall.
The Mercy on the Mall, yeah. Those people that are listening to us in County Clare now, they'll be all too familiar with this in Shannon and County Clare. Frazzled Christmas shoppers, they say, who are maybe feeling a little bit guilty, or they want to sort of swap their festive mania to maybe sit down and do a bit of talking one-to-one with the representatives of the Almighty. Yeah, so there you go. So what they're doing is, it's a bishop and more than a dozen priests. They'll be on hand at the mall in Shannon, in County Clare. And you're invited to make time for God during your shopping spree. So the organisers are doing confession. Catholic church leaders across Ireland are going to... They said 5 years ago they were going to take a risk, they did. Take a risk and start doing this. Meeting the people. They says, we'll bring the church to the people if the people around this time of year haven't time to go to the church. So they've set up in the mall, the shopping mall. And this is their fifth year doing it. It says it's been a great success. And you can meet them and chat to them and sit down with them and so do a bit like of confession with them.
Is it like a drive-through confession of sorts?
Yeah, it's like a walk-through, yeah. Yeah, yeah, the Sky Court, yeah. Sky Court Shopping Centre, yeah.
It's quite appropriate, it's called that.
The Sky Court, I know, isn't it? It couldn't be better. I know, yeah. And I have
you
to
can
say,
go and speak to a sky pilot while you're in the Sky Court.
And it's so immediate, you know what I mean? It's so immediate. You can literally go out, indulge yourself. You haven't even put the shopping on the ground. You're like, I'm after doing a terrible thing, fella.
Yeah, yeah.
And I need to tell you about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Or you can actually confess, like, if you bought something that was, you know, different.
Going to get you into shenanigans.
Yeah, going to get you into trouble and all.
I'm after buying a bottle of whiskey and a packet of handcuffs. I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what came over me or why I even did it. That sort of thing. Is
yeah,
that
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Or else
and
you could
repent.
You could just confess, you know, look, Father, I bought the wife a present, right, and it's actually for me, really.
I'm after, yeah, like the old Homer Simpson thing. I'm after buying the wife a bowling ball.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm after, you won't believe what I'm after doing. I'm after getting my wife a membership to the local football club with my name in it. I'll feel fierce bad about it, but I'm sure she'll be glad to see the back of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, there you go, that's the initiative. So, there you can go up and see them from 1 o'clock tomorrow morning. Immediately, he said, the priest is this. Father Arnold Rosalie is his name. And here's me calling him the priestesses. Not even giving the man a title. Not even saying priestesses right. It's disgraceful. It's
right.
Me that needs to do the confession.
I can't really see this working for you, though. Quite apart from the fact that you'd never go to confession. I mean,
yeah.
Nobody will ever get you into a shopping centre.
I know.
It's certainly not at Christmas time.
I know. And sure, like, there's nowhere I can go. I'm not going to spend anything over Christmas. Let's be honest. I'm not buying it for anybody. And if I walked into a church, the holy water would be boiling in the cauldron. Or whatever they call it. It's not a cauldron, is it?
Cauldron. That's like a witch's thing or something.
What's it called then?
In the...
The basin.
Font.
Oh, the font. That's
the
what
font.
It's called. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
The cauldron.
Shows you where I'd be doing my masses.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Wing of Bat and Eye of Newt.
I'd be there, and here, Father, you haven't, by any chance. I didn't leave in 1986. I didn't leave any communion money live anywhere, because I'm still short of fiver. I was sure I had it.
And now, the Hit Bit with Woodland Motor Company. Finding a quality used car can be a little hit and miss. Finally, find the deal you can rely on. WoodlandMotorCo.ie.
Hit Bit. It's a bit of a really famous hit. It's a bit, just a bit from a classic hit. But what hit is it?
Hit bit. Ah, jeez, I was a little late on that today, wasn't I? It was a bit of time.
You were just, a bit of variation is a good thing.
Yeah, I suppose so. Maybe I'm getting a bit of adventurous to come back to me real
time. Timing is everything in comedy.
Yeah, that's what I'm told. I was told that. I don't believe it, though. So there you go. €730 is what we have for you on the Hit Bit this morning. And the Hit Bit sounds just like this. That's what's worth the money. And Ross is... Ross Englishby, I think, is the name in Dublin. Hey, Ross.
Oh, sorry. How are you, Ross? Are you there?
How are you doing?
We got you now. How's things? How are you getting on today?
Not about it, lads. How's things?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Just getting into this Christmas nonsense. Have you done any shopping around, Ross?
Not a bit, yeah.
Yeah, no. Good
Fair
for you.
Fair play, Ross. Good man.
Well, there you go. All you need, as we found out earlier, you don't need to shop anymore. Just give everyone a cactus and you're laughing.
One of your CDs.
Unfortunately,
you'll have to wait till January for that one, Ross.
Right, so, Ross, let's try and get you some Christmas spending money. What do you think it is?
I think it's Ordinary World by Duran Duran.
Right, so what do you reckon then?
Okay,
John.
English John in charge of the puns today.
Play it again, Jim.
What?
Hit it up. Let's hear it. Let's hear it. And again. Just testing the reflex.
Oh my God.
I think we all failed with that one.
I think we did. I think we all need to hang our heads for facilitating that.
That was constructed, mind you. A lot of work went into that one.
It did.
It's not right, I'm afraid.
That was a physical and intellectual challenge, that was.
It was a marathon.
Right. Listen, Ross, have a good day, man. Thanks for playing.
Lad, cheers. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Good luck. I never gave Ross his official...
Oh,
for getting it wrong there.
But anyway, so Stephanie Desmond is in Dublin as well this morning. How are you getting on, Stephanie?
Not too bad now. Good, thanks.
How are you getting on? Have you done any Christmas business?
It's just about started.
Just about started?
Oh, you're making a start on a fair play.
Are you getting stuck into any of this environmentally friendly Christmas stuff you were talking about?
Environmentally friendless. That'd be brilliant. Yeah.
You mean handmade in Sweden, yeah.
Oh my God. I just described myself by accident, Stephanie. Sorry. Environmentally friendless is exactly how it is.
Perfection. Right, Stephanie, what are you going for the cash?
Hopefully it's you two, Angel of Harlem.
Oh, well, great song. Right, so what do you think? What do you think, John?
No, still haven't found what you're looking for, I'm afraid.
Hey!
Okay.
Stephanie, well done. Keep at it. Yeah, take care of yourself. Have a good day.
Thanks
very much.
You too.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. See you later, Stephanie.
They were good, John. They were good. Yeah. Lula boss
the second
John.
One was good. Second one got him out of trouble now.
Yeah. Right, more Hit Bits with Damien Farrelly. 20 to 5 as usual later on this afternoon.
PJ and Jim in the morning.
Madonna and Vogue here at Classic Hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim on this Thursday, 5th of December, 11 minutes past 8 o'clock. Thanks for hanging out with us, folks. Much appreciated. Friday's Eve, we like to think about a touching distance of the weekend. Hopefully they're shaping up for a good one now. 087-188-0008, of course, if you want to give us a shout at any stage. Breakfast table quiz on the way this hour. We were talking earlier on, of course, about the whole Christmas thing and it becoming an environmental Christmas.
Yeah.
PJ giving some tips on environmental Christmas. The environmental thing, huge at the moment.
And huge at the moment. And amazingly, you can be a right old skinflint and get away with it.
Yeah.
Now, it's great.
And of course, the other thing that's huge all the time is the health and safety. We often talk about health and safety on this show.
Listen, yeah, now, here's
and
more.
Nothing is exempt.
Now, we were talking about giving plants and all that for Christmas. Be careful now. Be careful giving wind instruments to people as presents. Be very careful. Playing the flute or playing the trumpet might seem like it's a very or relatively safe sort of hobby.
You wouldn't imagine health and safety would need to get... I mean, short of, like, swallowing it or something.
Well,
I don't really know why, you know.
Never mind swallowing a whole flute. You only have to put a bit of it in your mouth to get in trouble. So wind instruments...
That's beautiful in the background there, isn't it? That's some Celtic flute music in the background.
Lovely, yeah. So wind musicians don't realise the risks to their health when they're playing the flute. So people who play with brass sections or brass like trumpets...
As you have done yourself, you played with the bionic rats.
And I don't know where that trumpet came from. For all I know, I was sticking somebody's trumpet in that's been in the mouths all over the whole country. I had no idea. And here's me blowing on it in here, made of blowing and whipping and licking it and everything there was.
Blowing on somebody else's instrument, you were.
Yeah, I was for a long time.
Unbeknownst to you.
I thought I was going to take it up as a hobby for a while, like. And now I wouldn't anymore. Now, here's the problem. It's people who play these things, flutes in particular, 16% more likely to get respiratory illnesses like bronchitis.
My God.
Because the moisture from a musician's breath gets around the flute. And the saliva from the mouth creates conditions. Mould and bacteria builds up. And these are transferred into the person whose mouth is on the flute. Or anyone who puts their mouth on the flute. Right? So, scientists at the University of Nottingham in England have found that a lot of people don't clean their flutes at all after using them. Right? 39% were not even aware that they had a heightened risk of a chest infection because they didn't clean their flute. Right? This is serious. You know,
I'm being serious.
Yeah. So it's unbelievable.
I'm paying attention. So, that's why I'm not interrupting. So I'm paying attention.
Yeah, renewed warnings. The research was conducted by Holly Drover. He was a physiotherapist. So what she knows about putting flutes around the place, I have no idea. So she's a very keen musician as well.
That's it. She's a musician then.
A physiotherapist has done quite a lot of research into the flute contact. So there you go. So there's a lot of evidence, bacteria, fungi within the instrument, but there's been very little research on whether this bacteria is linked to greater levels of chest infections until now. So there she goes. Now, she says, as a person who plays with a flute myself, I felt it's important to see if there was any possible relationship. So I approached the university orchestra and we surveyed all the musicians who auditioned. So there you go. 62 chest infections per 1,000 people. So
wow.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a high percentage.
I'd stay away from it.
It's bad for your chest.
Don't get a flute and join an orchestra. Stay at home pulling the strings off your banjo instead.
Crowded house. Weather with you, here at Classic Hits. Welcome
to
Happy with BJ and Jim, 19 minutes past 8 o'clock. It turns out there's a lot of people interested in health and safety, PJ.
Turns out, yes.
Quite a phenomenal reaction.
Some of the messages we got there. Ah, lads, I hope my husband's not listening. I'm after getting bronchitis at the moment myself. He's going to think I was playing somebody else's flute. I'd say, well, just unless you're known for playing it already, I'd say you're safe enough.
Yeah, you should be okay, Shane. I wouldn't worry about that.
Look,
phenomenal reaction there to that. I didn't realise that flute-related
illnesses
health, it was such a concern for people.
Where am I up to? I don't know where I am.
That's quite extraordinary. Quite extraordinary.
Health
indeed,
and safety. We are the ones. We're bringing health and safety to the people.
We may have to do that. We may have to incorporate more health and safety in the future,
I think so.
PJ.
I mean, because that's twice
seems
now.
Seems like the nation wants it.
The environmentally friendless Christmas we had first.
Right.
Which is spectacular. And then it's a health and safety now. Yeah. So we're getting closer and closer to basically
becoming a serious show.
Yeah. And to talking people out of buying anything for anybody ever.
Well, there you go, so. Yeah. Who'd have thought that we'd end up like a, you know, like basically
a public service network.
Like a public service network. There we are doing health and safety announcements and everything. People lapping it up. Absolutely loving it.
Turns out you'd be better off vaping than playing the flute. Wouldn't you?
Who would have thought that? Right. 087-188-0008.
I think I have a chest infection of my own. I've actually got pains from that.
A few people have actually said, obviously, they just want to be double sure that they got all the correct information. They want to know, will we put that snippet up on the Facebook page?
Yeah, I think we will, yeah.
Because the show is podcast every day, by the way. You can always get a podcast of the show.
Every day, yeah.
Every day, anyway.
Where does they put that?
I don't know.
On all the...
John does it. John will know. He wasn't playing this. No. Where does the podcast go, John?
Podcast is available in all your usual places, including on iTunes and on Spotify. You can download it as well.
Brilliant.
Or just head to classichits.ie.
Oh,
excellent.
Right. The daily upload is there, isn't it?
You'll find it there.
Do you think we could do a specific...
A flute special.
A flute special just for that...
I think we can
on
arrange
on the Facebook page or whatever.
I think we can arrange a special
edition because there's huge demand on the
a lot of flute enthusiasts.
Yeah,
a lot of all sorts of musical enthusiasts. There's some people not happy about it all, as if we were trying to encourage people for not being musicians. I don't care. I'm absolutely support anyone taking up music, whether it be the flute, the horn, anything.
Go for it is the secret. That's what it is.
Just make sure you clean your flute or your horn afterwards. That's what we're saying.
Almost 22 minutes to 9. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim on this Thursday, Friday's Eve. Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Happy birthday to Leah Darcy. She listens every morning on the way to school. Her mammy and Daniel and Jamie all wanted to wish her a happy 6th birthday today. So Leah Darcy.
Happy birthday, Leah Darcy. Have a fantastic day. You deserve it.
Actually, speaking of the little ones, tomorrow, of course, on the show, our head scout elf is back.
Oh, yeah, indeed he is.
So if you want to get involved in that, of course, very easy to do. All you got to do is WhatsApp the word elf and your details to 087-188-0008. The idea is that our head scout elf chats to one of the children of Ireland on the show. And, of course, it's all with thanks to On Post's magical Elf on the Shelf stamp and postcard packs. They're available at the moment. 6 postcards depicting the various adventures of the Elf on the Shelf, and then these 6 specifically designed 1 euro stamps as well. And you can pick up the full pack, and you'll also get a magical Christmas message from your Scout Elf delivered by On Post. So if you want the details, any post office will be able to tell you, and online at onpost.com/Christmas. But as I say, if you'd like your child...
Oh, sorry, I'm getting a bit chesty or something. I didn't mean that.
Have you been at the... Anyway... if you want your child to chat to the head scout elf, elf, and your details to 087-188-0008. Now, we've dealt with health and safety. We've dealt with environmentalism.
We've dealt with all of these things, yeah.
Now it's time to stamp out prejudice.
Stamp it out. Well, I wish that was where I was going with this. I really wish it was. But it's just, there's a new thing apparently called knife and forkism. Right.
If there's an ism, it's a bad thing.
It is, isn't it? Isn't it? So Apprentice Star, this guy, he's the star of The Apprentice. He's only 19, so I don't want to be too hard on him, right? Mm. But his name is Ryan Mark Parsons. He was thrown off The Apprentice by Alan Sugar last month. So if you've been watching it, you'll know who he is. He's very much a toff. He's very much a toff. I think that's fair to say.
Right.
He was rushed to hospital last month because he dropped a 1,000-pound tub of caviar on his foot and did himself damage and had to go to hospital. Like, that's not any, that's not something that happens to most of us. I think that's fair to say.
It's going to be tough to get sympathy when you're telling, you know, an A&E doctor or nurse or something how your injury happened.
I was trying to open the jar of caviar and I dropped it on my foot. Should have just let the bloody thing smash. It was only worth £1,000.
Yes. I don't know why I didn't get Jeeves to do it.
Yes.
That's me. I'm just a giver.
I took one for the team. So there you go. So he's been seen in McDonald's, right? Now, nothing wrong with that. We all like a Macca's every so often.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a Mackey D's or a Mickey D's or whatever you call it. So he was sitting there, but he was using a knife and fork to eat his food. And I never knew that was a thing. The only time I ever saw that, I remember in the 80s, right, granted, and the Midlanders now. I do remember this. This was a thing. And the Midlanders, they would come up and you'd be there on O'Connell Street or whatever, and they'd order the burger and they'd say, "And do you have a knife and fork?" And they'd be like, "No, we don't. You just use your hands. It's grand." Right? So, but this is a different thing.
So from outside the pale back in the day, is that what you're saying?
It'd be like, you know, there'd be lad, you know, fellas like, you know, in the middle of Offaly and all, they'd be there going, like, you know, looking for the knife and fork. But those days are gone. There's McDonald's.
Yeah, we've moved on.
All over the country, even in the middle. There's even McDonald's in the middle.
No way.
There is, yeah. Oh, once I went to Athlone, that was it. The whole world changed. We lived in a better Ireland when fast food hit Athlone. It branched out. But he's sitting there. He's got like a silver knife and fork. So he must have brought it with him. Because I'm pretty sure you can't ask for a knife and fork at McDonald's. Can you not?
That's a very good question. Well, if you can, they're going to be plastic or recyclable something or other.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to be silver.
No, this is a silver. He brought his own knife and fork. And this is apparently what they call knife and forkism. It's a real trend where people insist on using cutlery for every single meal. That means toast, wraps, burgers, sushi.
Oh.
You know, this is.
I thought you were going to say that people were having a go at him for using a knife and fork and then it was becoming knife and forkism. But it's actually people using them. Oh,
yeah, well, I'm kind of having to go with them.
Yeah, no, proper order,
hands,
too.
Like, yeah. But when he sat in the window, he was chatting on his phone, then he took out his knife and fork out of his pocket and started eating his McDonald's with his knife and fork. Shameless. Absolutely shameless to carry on. I mean, it affects my life in no way whatsoever. I shouldn't care about this. But there's something about it. There's something quite pompous about it. Eating your McDonald's with your knife and fork. You stick a hand in the bag. So sometimes you'd be lucky if you even got what you asked for. Well, that's terrible. No, that's, I've always got what I asked for. Now I'm just making things up. I'm sorry, McDonald's. I'm just getting outraged at my own talk now.
Somebody's saying there's a silver service in Mac's in New York. I assume they mean McDonald's in New York.
Oh, really? Like, you can book a table and a waiter and everything? Is that a thing?
On Wall Street, according to this person. Who's telling us this?
Maybe in Wall Street.
I don't know who this is. They're remaining incognito.
But you wouldn't get that banging around.
They don't give their name, so it's probably very unreliable information.
You wouldn't get that banging around Cork or Galway or London. You wouldn't have a waiter coming up to you.
Imagine if you had to carry around. I mean, for a start, if you were stopped for any other reason and you were carrying around a knife and fork. Be regarded as a dangerous weapon nowadays.
If you and me,
yeah.
If we're caught with a knife in our pocket, the guards are going to ask questions. If the guard gops you and goes, "You're the lad dropped the caviar on his foot last month," you're probably going to get off. You're probably not seen as a danger.
Yeah, fair point.
You know, if Jim McCabe is walking around with a bread knife in his back pocket, I'm in serious trouble. But it's a thing.
And does it say what he was? Was he actually having a burger?
Yeah, he was eating a burger. Yeah, yeah, he's eating a burger. You can see that today. They got a real close-up shot.
I mean,
of the burger
the joy
and chips
of
opened
having...
up on the basket on the burger container thing, and I'm tucking in. Yeah,
half the joy of having a McDonald's is eating it with your hands. For God's sake, licking the salt off your fingers,
getting
it
all over your face, and licking the head off yourself.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about. You make a mess, and then you eat the mess. How often do you get the chance to eat the mess and then throw the remains in the bin? It's great, carry on.
Yeah.
That's what fast food is all about. It's about celebrating your inner animal, isn't it?
Your inner animal?
Yeah.
It's not just about food on the go, no?
No, I think there's more. No, it's more eating outdoors in the wild and all. In the car park. Like some sort of dog. It's great.
The Breakfast Table Quiz.
It's time for the Breakfast Table Quiz. Win the best prize out there is. Try to get the biggest score. Hope the next call gets the award. It's the Breakfast Table Quiz.
The Breakfast Table Quiz with Julie Kilmartins in Innes and Limerick. Giving the gift of exam success with Julie's Christmas revision courses. See KES.ie.
Right, as I mentioned, tomorrow on the show, of course, we'll be announcing the lineup for Forever Young Festival 2020. It's back at Palmerstown House Estate in Naas from the 10th to the 12th of July. A chance to relive the amazing 80s. It was the most talked about new event in the Irish live music calendar in 2019. A party weekend like no other. It'll be the same next year, guaranteed. Tickets actually going on sale for it tomorrow morning from 9 a.m. You can check them out on foreveryoungfestival.ie. But as I say, we'll be doing the live announcement of the full lineup, right? And of course, the other thing we're doing this week is giving you the chance to actually be there, and be there in VIP glamping style, a package for four to win this week.
Yeah, that's it. And Trish on Tuesday, she got a score of 11. So 11 is the score to beat. High, but not so high it can't be done. So 12 or more is what we need. And Lorraine Cavan in Dublin is going to have a go. Hi, Lorraine.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Oh, good, Lorraine. What about yourself?
Grand, not a bother.
Good stuff. Any Christmas shenanigans happening yet?
Not as yet, no.
Well done. Well done.
It seems like if anyone had any sense, we'd all be doing it right now, but none of us want to. It's just the way it is, isn't it?
Exactly. Right, you're ready to go, Lorraine. You know you've got 11 to beat, so we need at least the Dirty Dozen to get us there. Hopefully even more, and then there'll be only one day left for somebody to try and beat you. So 60 seconds, here we go.
What Australian pop star had a 90s hit with Better the Devil You Know?
Kylie Minogue.
Which Renaissance artist and inventor drew up plans for a flying machine?
Pass.
Leonardo da Vinci, if you are suffering from cirrhosis, what organ would be diseased?
Liver.
Heathrow Airport is on the outskirts of what city?
London.
Which Californian city is known as the City of Angels?
Los Angeles.
If you are at Kuala Lumpur Airport, what country are you in?
Pass.
Malaysia, Central Park is in what borough of New York City?
Manhattan.
Which author created the characters Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn? Mark Twain. Which female artist featured on the Pogues hit Fairy Tale of New York?
Kirsty MacColl.
Martina Navratilova is famous for what sport? Which band had UK chart hits with Unfinished Sympathy and Teardrop?
Pass.
Massive Attack. Which American rapper began the trend of wearing hammer pants?
MC Hammer.
In Television's Only Fools and Horses, what's the name of the block of flats that Del Boy lives in?
Nelson Mandela House.
How many players are there in a Rounders team?
Six.
Nine. According to the proverb, the proof is in the what?
Pudding.
Yeah. Wanted to try and sneak another one in. I really wanted to sneak another one in.
Right, there was some good going, a couple of wrong ones, but there was still some good scoring in there. Right, let's do this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Off.
No worries.
Sure, even if we got the other one, it wouldn't have mattered,
no
I suppose.
Worries,
it's a shame.
Anyway, thank you, Lorraine. Thanks for having
a
go.
That was a great effort, Lorraine. Cheers. Bye-bye now. Yeah, let me just double check that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. See, that was the wrong ones.
Yeah,
in fairness, she did right kind of getting through them fairly quickly.
That's the job, yeah, and she did everything right. When you say, when you don't know it, you just say pass, just get off it. So I'm just unfortunate as well.
Right, it means we head in to Friday, meaning that a dozen will do it for you. If you can get 12 on the breakfast table quiz, you and three of your mates could be enjoying a VIP glamping package for four for Forever Young Festival, back for 2020 at Palmerstown House Estate in July, from the 10th to the 12th of July, and we will be announcing the lineup for that incredible gig tomorrow on the show.
You've been listening to the PJ and Jim in the Morning Catch Up Podcast. Catch PJ and Jim live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on Classic Hits.